This month, we present our State of the Station to salute the National Radio Club National Convention location.
Omaha, sing on for Omaha, lift up your throat and shout hooray for the geographical center of the USA. Come on and live it up in Omaha. We know me Wichita, we mean the town that is true blue. And we're here to say Uncle Omaha wants you.
I bet you didn't expect a Broadway production at this point in the broadcast, but it's fun to say nice things about Omaha. Legends such as Todd Storrs and some big-time jocks have walked the airwaves. Omaha is home to one of the only 5,000-watt full-time non-directional stations in the U.S., as well as hosting some with heritage call letters and a giant radio voice that covers most of the western half of the country. So we thought it fitting this month to focus our State of the Station's report on the Omaha market. There are several sports formats, some Spanish and religious, farm and nostalgia, and a lot of news talkers. A typical radio market today, but a market with a lot of radio history. One of the mightiest of the Omaha voices was a station taking to the air in 1922 as WOAW. The license was granted to the Woodmen of the World Insurance Company, and they wanted their name reflected as call letters WOW, but those call letters were already in use, assigned to the steamship Henry J. Bibble. On October 1, 1926, WOW became affiliated with the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company. And then, with the retirement from service of the SS Bibble, the call letters WOW were awarded to the society. In 1928, WOW was forced to share the 590 frequency with Nebraska Wesleyan College Station, WCAJ. WOW was permitted to use the frequency 6/7 of the time, the college using the remaining 14%. In 1930, WOW applied for full-time use of the frequency. They finally won that battle in 1933. In 1935, they were able to increase power to 5 kilowatts. Over the years, WOW battled to protect its coverage area, fighting a long, drawn-out but unsuccessful case to keep WKZO in Michigan from the 590 channel. WKZO won that fight, but they had to protect WOW at night. In 1952, WOW became a Meredith station. During the Meredith years, WOW changed with the times, adopting a top 40 format about 1970, and attracting popular disc jockeys well known in the Omaha area, and offering the area's youthful listeners a new radio alternative, competing head-to-head with the top 40 giant KOIL. Incidentally, WOW proved a worthy challenger to COIL, but after a few years chose to switch rather than fight. They launched country and western music along with farm news, and they were very good at it, consistently earning good ratings for the next 25 years. In 1983, Great Empire acquired WOW AM and KYNN FM. The FM call letters were changed to create a WOW AM and FM combination. WOW, along with 12 other Great Empire stations, was then sold to the Milwaukee-based Journal Broadcast Group in 1999. In a surprise move, the historic call letters of WOW were then surrendered, and the station became KOMJ Magic 590 in 1999, with the format switching from country to adult standards, and WOW-FM became KYSS-FM. Well, the KOMJ call has since moved to 1490, as we'll see, and 590 became KXSP All Sports. Their incredible coverage remains. By the way, probably the most famous alumnus of WOW was a young fellow from Nebraska named Johnny Carson. KCRO on 660 began its career as WAAW, licensed to the Omaha Grain Exchange in 1922. It was Nebraska's first radio station by a matter of months. They came up with 500 watts on 780, then went to 1050, then to 800, then to 860, and then to 680, where they timeshared with KFDY. All of the facilities changes to WAAW occurred in 1 year, 1927. Pity the poor engineers who had to retune the transmitter and change antennas, almost month by month. In 1928, the station was settled on 660 as a 500-watt daytimer. The assignment was confirmed by NARBA in 1941. And 2 years earlier, WAAW had become KOWH for the Omaha World Herald. Then in 1949... still a daytimer, KOWH, purchased from the Omaha World Herald by a fellow named Todd Storrs. And radio history was about to be made in Omaha, of which more later. Storrs sold the station in 1957 to Buckley. The call letters changed to KMEO with an easy listening format until the early 1960s, when KOZN, the country cousin, was born. By the early 70s, KOZN was gone. The calls would resurface as the sports station at 1620, as we'll see. In 1964, KOWH was reborn as a soul station until the mid-70s, when it was born again as KCRO, a Christian station. In 2001, KCRO was sold to Eternal Broadcasting, and it wasn't until early 2003 that KCRO finally shed its daytime-only status and was authorized for 24-hour operation with a mighty 54 watts post-sunset. But what history that station made as a daytimer in the 50s. In the mid-1920s, Earl May, a seed and nurseryman from Shenandoah, Iowa, was able to foresee the great opportunity of talking to thousands of people by this new means of communication called radio. May traveled to Omaha to broadcast his program on WOAW, and after 2 years built his own station in Shenandoah, the historic KMA. Another heritage station, KMA does a good job across four states, including eastern Nebraska. The station was founded in 1925, moved to 650, to 1110, and to 760. In 1928, they landed on 930 with 500 watts, but they had to timeshare with KGBZ. KMA did land a 1,000-watt license, but then tried to move to 710, 750 watts, where they wouldn't have to timeshare. Denied. They had to stay on 930, but now had the daytime power of 2,500 watts and 500 watts when the cows went back to the barn. KGBS, meanwhile, tried to grab the channel in 1936. Denied. And KMA got 5 kilowatts day, 1 kilowatt night. NARBA then moved the facilities from 930 to 960. 2 years later, the FCC gave KMA 5 kilowatts day and night with a directional antenna at night. With its high visibility, KMA operated on a slogan of "Keep millions advised." Today, KMA operates a news talk format. The Earl May Seed and Nursery Company is still family-owned. And so to 1020, licensed to Plattsmouth, Nebraska, near the famous old steel toll bridge that still operates across the wide Missouri. This station began broadcasting on October 26, 1970, as daytime-only KOTD. They had 250 watts on 1,000 kilohertz. Couldn't have been very effective with Sioux Falls co-channel powerhouse KXRB just up the road. So, in August 1994, KOTD applied to the FCC to change frequencies to the current 1020 and to increase daytime power to 1,000 watts. In May of 2001, KOTD applied to the FCC for another power increase, this time 50 kilowatts daytime. In March 2002, the permit was amended to add 1,400 watts nighttime operation as well, protecting KDKA. In 2002, the station changed its call letters to KKSC, then changed again in 2003 to the legendary KOIL call sign. This accompanied an April 2003 switch to a classic country music format, branded on air as Country 1020 AM. In 2009, the station was assigned yet another set of call letters, KMMQ, operating a Spanish format, and the COIL call sign was moved to 1180. Lots to tell you about COIL coming up. Comes now the mighty KFAB 1110, heard across dozens of western states like a local at night. KFAB lit up in Lincoln in 1924 and within 3 years had a 2-kilowatt license for 880. In that infamous dial-switching year of 1927, they were moved to 970, then 940, before being moved to 770, time-sharing with WBBM and WJBT Chicago. KFAB was granted 5 kilowatts. In the 1930s, they were allowed to operate synchronously with WBBM at night, and that theoretically expanded CBS nighttime coverage by combining the two stations in a single voice. We told you about that experiment in a band scan a few years ago. The KFAB license was soon expanded to 10 kilowatts full-time. NARBA 1941 moved both stations to 780. But KFAB wanted to go on its own, so they arranged a swap with WJAG in Norfolk, Nebraska, and they moved to 1110 in 1945, at the same time moving towers and relicensing to Omaha. WJAG, though one of the oldest stations in the country, would have to remain a daytimer on 780 to protect Chicago, while KFAB became part of the 1110 channel share, mutually protecting WBT Charlotte. They were able to operate 50 kilowatts from a three-tower array. Charlotte, by the way, had their protection downgraded to accept Omaha in an infamous network protection swap, which we'll talk about in a later broadcast. Today, KFAB operates a successful news talk format, and 1110 is a genuine pest to DXers throughout much of the West with their iBox signal. And once again, a famous KFAB alumnus, the same Johnny Carson. When you go up the dial to 1180 today, you hear the familiar call, KOIL. That famous call had gone traveling all over town before landing at 1180, where it remains, at least for the moment. Coil was originally owned by the Mona Motor Oil Company, hence the OIL in the call letters, and it was located in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Coil signed on in 1925 and was one of the stations participating in the first CBS network radio broadcast in 1927. Its twin towers were located high on a bluff known as Coil Point, in Fairmont Park and Council Bluffs. Known as the radio station on the hill, Coil was the second station licensed to the Omaha Council Bluffs market. In the summer of 1937, Coil moved all programming across the Missouri River to Omaha. Coil originally broadcast at 1080 with 1 kilowatt before moving to 1290 and creating a legend as the mighty 1290, the rock of the Midwest. The station was sold to Don Burden in 1952. Burden had promotion in his blood, and he had a 24-hour radio station at his command. Coil soon was overtaking Todd Storr's groundbreaking KOWH 660, known as American radio's first home of Top 40, because of Storr's restricted broadcast hours. Burden stole many of the name announcers from KOWH. The competition between the two stations became very intense. Coil was the bridge to the big time for numerous DJs. The mighty 1290 could brag of jock alumni such as Gary Owens, Gary Gears, WCW wrestling announcer Mean Gene Okerlund. News talents Lyle Dean and Fred Winston once shared the facilities before their Pittsburgh and Chicago breaks came. Jimmy O'Neill of TV's Shindig was a Coil good guy, as was L.A. personality the real Don Steele. Coil reportedly enjoyed 30 to 40 shares in the mid-60s. Coil enjoyed up to a remarkable 80% or higher share with teens in the evenings. As a result of a Federal Communications Commission investigation into improprieties, Burden was forced to surrender his radio licenses, and Coil went off the air in September 1976. The last song played as it went off the air was Simon and Garfunkel's Sounds of Silence. A couple of months later, in December 1976, Coil 1290 came back to life under an interim license. Coil's format evolved as the 80s came along. In 1980, it made the subtle switch to contemporary hits, shifting in 1982 to adult contemporary. And then in 1988, Coil again switched, this time to classic rock, and for a very short period. Late 1988 brought still another format change to oldies. In 1993, it swapped frequencies with talk outlet KKAR, moving the Coil call to 1180. The move gave KKAR a better signal on 1290 and changed Coil's official city of license to Bellevue, Nebraska. This 1180 facility was then new. It came on as KKAR in the mid-1980s. In September 1990, 1180 applied to the FCC for an increase in daytime power to 25 kilowatts. In 1999, Coil 1180 dropped its sports radio programming to become a full-time affiliate of Radio Disney. And in 2003, the station was assigned the call letters KYDZ. In 2006, the station's format was flipped to Spanish classic hits and given the on-air branding La Bonita. On January 1st, 2009, the 1180 station returned to the historic KOIL call sign as the format flipped to syndicated news talk. And there they are today, 25 kilowatts day, 1,000 watts night. Wow, you talk about listener confusion. By the time the various owners were through with them, the KOIL calls had little or no value as a grabber. On 1420, we find KOTK, great call letters for a talk format, and they were once in use on a mighty talker in Portland, Oregon. The station went on the air in the late 50s or early 60s under the name KOOO, sporting a country music format. In the early 1980s, it flipped to an easy listening format and was renamed KROM. The KOOO call went to FM. The call letters KLOA were assigned to 1420 for a two-week period in June of 1990. Then the station became KESY in a simulcast with that FM station. They had tried for the call letters KFAV, but KFAB protested. The station later changed its call sign to KBBX with a fairly successful soul format, then to KHLP before the current KOTK. They're broadcasting a Spanish format to Omaha now on 1420, a kilowatt day, 330 watts after dark, using two different directional patterns. KOMJ, just up the road at 1490, serves Omaha with a kilowatt full-time. It delivers a nostalgia format. As we've heard, the KOMJ call letters resided for a time at 590. 1490 began life as KBON in 1941, later known as KLNG for Calling, Omaha's first news talk station. In 1970, the call was changed to KYNN, fronting a country music format. The KYNN call and format subsequently moved to FM, as we heard. In 1978, KEZO became Z92, dropping their beautiful music format, and 1490 picked it up as, I think, KESY. The FCC database shows the call letters KEDS, first issued in 1985. KEDS began as Oldies. It was the first all-oldies station in Omaha and had some pretty good numbers in its first book or two. By the mid-80s, 1490 had become KEZO and was simulcasting KEZO-FM's rock format. And this would continue for nearly a decade, when in 1996, KEZO became KOSR and joined forces with Fox. Wow, I work up a minor sweat just trying to follow where these call letters are going. The KLNG call went to 1560 and sports a Christian format with a short history. 1560 came on as KQXV in 1978, became KRCB the same year, and took the KLNG call in the early 80s, about the time 1490 became KESY. KLNG operates on 1560 with 10 kilowatts day, 2100 watts at night. On 1620, the top of the Omaha dial, we find an X-band station, KOZN, also licensed to Bellevue. You'll recall the KOZN call appeared for a short time on 660. As a typical X-band station, KOZN enjoys good coverage, 10 kilowatts day, a kilowatt night. They're known as 1620 The Zone. They signed on as KAZP in 1999, and this year discontinued their affiliation with ESPN. And there you are, bottom to top, the Omaha radio market. I sure hope we didn't miss anyone. It's an interesting market with a lot of history, spawning a number of voices that went on to national fame. But we still have the Todd Storrs story to tell. Entrepreneur Robert Todd Storrs was described in 1956 by Time magazine as the fastest rising figure in U.S. radio. As we know, his Mid-Continent Broadcasting Company and its daytime-only KOWH ruled Omaha's airwaves from 1950 through 1957. With controversial stunts and station promotions, listen-to-win contests and games, popular music, razzle-dazzle announcers, and sensational-sounding news broadcasts that offered listeners a weekly cash award for the best news tip. Following World War II service, Storrs took a 12-week NBC-sponsored course in radio at Northwestern University and worked at several radio stations as announcer, salesman, and copywriter. In 1947, he was employed at KBON, hosting its Swing Club program. In 1949, Todd and his father purchased KOWH from the Omaha World Herald. By 1951, KOWH had become the nation's top-rated independent radio station. Storrs originated the idea of Top 40 music programming with the purchase in 1953 of WTIX in New Orleans. And now an anecdotal story. The accepted tale is that Top 40 radio was born in a tavern in Omaha one evening in the early 50s when stores and program director Bill Stewart noticed how often customers kept playing the same songs on the jukebox. They decided to clone a jukebox approach on KOWH. But other historians dispute that story. Richard Fatherly was a production director at Storrs' KXOK St. Louis in the mid-60s and program director at the chain's Kansas City Giant WHB through 1969. Storrs, he says, did invent Top 40, but he notes another broadcaster must be also credited with pioneering the format, Gordon McClendon, who did his thing in Texas. But even McClendon, Fatherly notes, has conceded that Storrs was first. Fatherly disputes the famous story about that evening in the bar. Instead, he says, the birth of Top 40 is traced to some 1950 University of Omaha research that indicated that listeners listed music as a major reason for using the radio. Storrs acquired that research and then, inspired by the work of WNEW New York, ditched all network programming from KOWH for music, and in line with the popular music focus of such shows as Your Hit Parade and Lucky Logger Dance Time, gave the top 10 songs heavy rotation. After acquiring WTIX in New Orleans, he heard about rival WDSU's Top 20 show, and he added 20 more titles. Started an hour ahead of WDSU and went on for an hour after the other show had ended, and thus he had created a Top 40 show. But what about that scene in the bar, a scene described numerous times by Bill Stewart and spread by other employees? The barroom story is a mythology, Fatherly says. Todd Storrs used what he observed of jukebox play and record sales to determine the frequency of record play. He didn't get the idea for Top 40 from those observations. Regardless of fact or anecdote, no one can take away from Todd Storrs the awesome work he did with KOWH Omaha and elsewhere, and his title of Father of Top 40 Radio. And it all began in Omaha.
Take it from me, you'd love to stay and spend your pay and make.